Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Heather. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSC call on the 12th of March 2013. On the audio bridge, we have Maria Fowle, Robin Gross, Joy Lidicote. In the NCSC room, AC room, sorry, we have Avi Doria, Cynthia Sukranan, Maria Farrell Equally, Ron Rickersham, and Carl Stoll. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Robin.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining in today's call. We've got quite a full agenda. There's some not a ton happening in terms of issues to be voted on in this week's GNSO Council meeting, but there are a lot of discussion issues that are really ripe right now, and there's a lot of plans and preparations that we need to discuss as well for the upcoming ICANN meeting in Beijing. So the first thing I thought we would do is discuss the issues that the council will be discussing this week, and then we've got a list of other policy issues and a number of public comment periods that have just opened or that are about to close, and we should quickly run through those and see if we've got folks who are either preparing or willing to prepare or interested in preparing comments and public statements on some of these issues, and then we can go into our own Beijing meeting planning, and we've got some discussion issues that we need to schedule our discussion with the board and our discussion with at large. We propose topics for the public forum to the staff, and so if we could run through some of those at the end, that would be great. And then if we have time, any other business. I realize it's a really full agenda, but there's a lot happening right now, so if you'll bear with me and help me make our way through the agenda, I'd really appreciate it. Okay, so let's first talk about the council meeting in 2 days on Thursday. The last I saw last night, there weren't any motions that had been posted. Is there any update on that? Does anyone know if council will be, I guess the deadline has passed. If there were no motions as of last night, there aren't going to be any since they have to be done in a week in advance. So I don't actually ever remember a council meeting where there wasn't a single motion that got voted on, so this is kind of unusual. Okay, so then let's talk about the discussion issues that are up for council discussion this week. And the first issue is the policy versus implementation debate that has been raging at ICANN, and this question of when is something a policy issue that is properly formulated through a bottom-up process of the community versus when is something an implementation decision and staff can decide without consulting the community how to fashion a certain policy or implementation and procedure. So that's sort of the overall framing of that. And staff came up with a discussion paper, which is posted in the agenda for today, that was intended to facilitate further community discussions on this topic. And this will be a hot issue in Beijing as well. There's a forum that is being scheduled, I think, Wednesday morning on this topic, and there's a public comment period that is open for two more days as well. So we've got a lot happening on this particular issue right now. So let me just frame it that way and then open it up to others, and in particular our counselors and other policy officers to help guide us through the council discussion this week and the public comment issues. Is there anyone who'd like to start off our discussion on this issue? Is there anyone who's prepared a comment, filed a comment, or wants to file a comment in on this issue?
Sorry, I was 2 minutes late, and so I missed the what is this issue.
Sorry about that. This is the issue of policy versus implementation, and okay. When is a issue a policy decision versus when is it an implementation decision? And
this
I know
is
that
it a pointer. I got it. Thank you.
So, any thoughts on this issue, on the council discussion later this week, ideas what we'd like to take a...
This is Avery. Can I comment?
Yes, Avery. Please. Please, someone.
Two things. First of all, NCSG actually sent in a comment. And the comments were sent in by the comment period ended 21st February. We did send in a comment, I believe. And it's the response period that ends shortly, I believe, on the policy versus implementation.
That's right. I'd forgotten we had actually sent in a comment. I should have included that on this agenda. I apologize. So we have a stakeholder group position that our counselors can take back into their discussion on Thursday to advocate for. Is everyone in violent agreement on this issue?
I mean, it's Maria. Sorry. Yes, indeed. I've just been reviewing the comments. I came to it a bit late, but absolutely happy to advocate very strongly for it. I'm not sure how much discussion is going to be given at the meeting. I mean, I think, you know, given that the comment period ends the day after, so the GNSO Council meeting is tomorrow, the comment period ends the following day. I suspect they're not going to have any substantive discussion on it tomorrow, but if and when it comes up, we'll definitely make our case.
Okay. Yeah, I had just taken it from the Council agenda, so it said there was going to be some discussion on it, but I see your point that, you know, until the comment period is over, people are probably not going to have their final thoughts ready for the issue.
Yeah, like on this one, I think there's probably a slightly more general point, which is I suspect that our view in NCSG, NCUC is slightly different to our frequent allies, the registries and registrars, because even though I mean, just my read of the situation is even though they're you know pretty hacked off with the whole trademark clearinghouse debacle, as it's called in the paper, they do have a bit more of an interest in keeping back-channel communications when things go into implementation. You know, they've got a lot more influence over that potentially than we do. You know, simply they're the people who get called up to talk about things and, you know, or they have their own direct lines in via their own staff liaisons. So I think we do need to kind of make our own positions known on this. I suspect we're going to get a lot more silence rather than support. But obviously, that you know, it doesn't mean we don't do it. It means we need to make the position pretty clear about what we're saying. But I'm not sure that we've got a huge number of natural allies on this because so many other people on the council seem to think they've got great back channels and they're not always against implementation as a way to get stuff done.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of others rely upon the back channels and just talking to staff through this implementation time period to influence policy. So there may not be as much interest as we would have as having these walls being a little bit more clearly defined. Did anyone else have any thoughts on this point, the policy versus implementation? Okay. All right. Thanks for that, Maria. I think we've got a pretty clear path forward, at least for Thursday. And just to remind people that
Joy, I did have my hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't see up hands because I'm not in the OE Connect. So just you know, sort of shout your name out.
Yes.
that you're trying to get in.
Just a couple of things I wanted to. Yes, just a couple of things to highlight. One is I really wanted to thank Avery for doing the draft comment. And I think, the comment that we've submitted does, ask some of the right questions and raise some of the key issues. I think that sort of my experience over the years in policy versus implementation issues is that it's more art. It's more art than science, and I think that you know, we're quite correct to highlight that there isn't a bright line that we can draw between the two. Having said that, I do think it's important that we emphasise that if there's ever any doubt between policy versus implementation issues, it must be policy that prevails. And I think this is where we've run into some issues in the last, certainly at least the last year that I've been on council, is where somehow or other implementation seems to override and certainly to undermine policy decisions that have been made. So I think we need to have some sort of discussion about that. And I suppose just to pick up Maria's point, the other concern that I have is that our policy versus implementation discussion, while it's important, is symptomatic of a wider problem. And the wider problem, I think, is the current level of dysfunction among the GNSO and other supporting organisations that are battling, and constituencies who are battling for decision-making influence. So I would sort of caution us to be wise about how much of our time we invest in this issue, and not get too sucked into it without being aware of that wider, what I think is that wider issue. That's all I wanted to say on this one.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's a really good point, actually, that I think one thing we can always come back to on this is that, you know, the decision for if something is policy or implementation is a decision that should rest with the community, and it isn't a decision, you know, staff can't just sort of decide for itself what's implementation and what's policy without the community being a part of that conversation, because otherwise, you know, they have carte blanche authority to set the scope of their own authority and do what they want. And so, you know, I think it's important that the community is has the say in whether or not a particular decision or issue is which side of that line it belongs on. That's just my view.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to get in the queue on this point? Okay, don't hear any names, so let's move on to the next issue, which is the Registrar Agreement Amendment, RAA negotiations. And as many of you have probably heard over the last few days, there was a bit of a controversy because staff and the registrars have been negotiating on this RAA agreement for, you know, 18 months or so, and they come down to only two open remaining issues out of, like, 18 that they had started with. So they were very, very close to reaching agreement on all the issues, and the issues that they were having to negotiate were those that were brought by the law enforcement agencies and by GAC and the request to collect additional information, validate and verify additional information about registrants when they register domain names, that sort of thing. So these negotiations had been going on for a long time. They had come a long way and were near completion when ICANN just unilaterally, according to the registrars, ended the negotiations and, you know, it has put in like 10 new proposals for terms that they want to see included in this agreement that staff wants that are not part of the law enforcement and GAC requests that necessitated these negotiations in the first place. But these are things that staff at the last minute have insisted must go into the contract for the benefit of ICANN, the corporation, and things like ICANN has the right to change the terms of the agreement when they want, which is a bit troubling to the registrars, understandably so, but I think the bigger issue here is the issue of multi-stakeholder governance and bottom-up governance, and there is a concern not only from the registrars but also from the registries, who are also being forced to sign a similar term in the registry agreement, but and as well as non-commercial users who are concerned about this sort of growing unilateralism coming from the ICANN staff and board, where, you know, they really are not interested in what us bottom dwellers have to say or think on anything, and it's just a top-down authoritarian regime that we're seeing taking place. And so there's a growing concern in the community, and again, it's not just from non-commercial users, but the contracted parties are affected. You know, we saw staff try to pull something similar to this with the straw man debacle and the trademark clearinghouse issues. And Fadi, the CEO, he said he realized that he made a mistake, that he was wrong to try to circumvent the multi-stakeholder policy development process like that. So he, on the one hand, he recognized that it was wrong and admitted the mistake, and on the other hand, the staff is continuing to do the exact same thing with this unilateral policy making that really undermines and circumvents the bottom-up multi-stakeholder model. Well, you know, okay, that's sort of my framing of the issue, and you can see where my perspective is, and I'm definitely open to hearing other perspectives and suggestions about how we should respond to this. The draft that staff claims is the proposed agreement is out for public comment now, so we will need to prepare some comments at the very least, but let me just stop there and open this up for discussion. And again, I don't see who's got their hands up in such in Adobe Connect, so if you could just sort of shout out your name that you want to get in the queue, that'd be great.
Nope, has their hand up at the moment.
It's Maria. I'd like to say something.
Please, Maria.
Yeah.
And then Wendy, please.
Oh, thanks. So I see this as a trend, I think possibly since Fadi has been with us, but perhaps probably that began over the summer, but I think a certain hardening of staff's you know, particularly some of the operational staff and the legal staff, and even further hardening of their kind of top-down approach. And it seems to be, to some extent, getting the approval or, you know, de facto approval of the board. And I don't, you know, I'm kind of looking at a couple of different data points, you know, this, the Trademark Clearinghouse, some of the messaging that's coming out, the closing of offices around the world and opening up of other ones. It just seems to be a lot more corporate and a lot more directive in a way that makes me think it's possibly the staff on board thinking, you know, we really need to get our house in order and run this show because new GTLDs are coming. It's going to be much more, you know, the organization is going to be harder to control, more people, more projects, more money, all of that, and they're trying to get more of a handle on things. So I don't know if other people think that's the case, but I'm kind of looking at a few different data points. That maybe, I don't know, does two or maybe three data points make a trend? I'm not sure. Or, you know, maybe this is just business as usual, but I feel it's a little bit of a hardening.
Yeah, thank you very much, Maria. Andy.
I think that's right. I wouldn't take quite the same perspective on sort of the characterization. That I think there are good things that ICANN is doing by making its structures sort of more extendable, and some of the corporate innovations aren't all bad. We can learn from things that corporations do for their governance, just as we can learn from things that governments and other non-governmental organizations do. And but I work particularly with the on.
Wendy, I'm having a really hard time hearing you. It sounds like you're underwater or something. Are you close to the microphone, or could you speak up a little bit, please? I'm sorry.
Thanks. Better? More? Feedback? Anyone?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, thanks. So, a great that this registration agreement is that ICANN's style of jumping to changed past both past seeming agreements and ignoring feedback from the community is a problem. I'm had some conversations with registrar. We've tried this in the past and not had sort of great success finding ways that we can work together, right, and that they appreciate our support, but there's not necessarily something that we can do to help them. And so I wonder if it's useful to ask ICANN for a briefing to NCSG where we try to talk to them and both get them to understand how seriously we take this, as well as one more channel of feedback, and possibly also have a call with registrars and their negotiating team or others to make sure that we have the facts that we can put into comments that are critical here.
Yeah, thanks very much for that, Wendy. I think that's actually two really good ideas coming from that, a request for a briefing with staff to try to impress upon them our concerns, and maybe before that, a briefing from the registrars to try to get a picture of their understanding. I wonder if this is something that we want to do before Beijing, or were you thinking this would be something that we would do in Beijing? Like, if we did it before, we could, you know, do it on the telephone or a webinar or maybe something in person in Beijing. I don't know. Any thoughts on that? Anyone?
Sorry.
If people have time in the 2 weeks before Beijing, that would be terrific. If people's schedules are going to be crazy, then if we do it before, we have more impact. Everyone's running around
right.
at Beijing.
Hi, this is Aubrey. Can I comment?
Please.
So I may have missed something. The sound coming through from the Adobe Connect was so bad, I ended up dialing in. One of the things that is in this is there is the possibility for, and I'm not sure what it is we're trying to do with the registrars and the registries, but I know that both of them, whether it's the registrars with the RAA here and understanding that the reason they did not want to include outsiders is it because it didn't only include us if they included the multi-stakeholders. It included people that would be forcing them into much worse situations, so they were better off with no one, both allies and not, than that. And I disagree with what they've done, but I sort of came to understand that, you know, you get many voices when you open up the doors there. Now, with the RAA as it's come out, and with the new preemptive registry contract for new GTLDs, essentially both of them are in registry and registrar, the board and staff basically saying, anytime we want to change something, we can change something. It doesn't need a policy development process. Essentially what they're doing is they're eliminating the picket fence, and they're saying, these are not normal contracts, these are just things that we can change anytime. These are just regulatory structures that look like contracts with no picket fence. So I think at this point there probably is a good opportunity for aligning ourselves with both of those groups in sort of, you know, we may disagree with you about what is in the picket fence and how we change things in the picket fence, but we totally support the notion that there is a picket fence, and that some things, that nothing can be changed by the board or staff arbitrarily, that any change to their relations comes out of a policy development process. So I think that there's value in trying to do that. You know, certainly the RAA comment period ends before Beijing. It ends on 28 March. The reply period ends on 19 April, which is after Beijing. So if we get a comment in by 28 March, we certainly have an ability to present a case that sort of says something like what I said. Now, if people go to the section where I'm collecting who's working on what, no one's name is beside working on the RAA agreement yet, and I haven't volunteered for it because I'm not the most knowledgeable of the people we've got on that. But I just wanted to point that out. We did miss the opportunity to comment on the revised new GTLD registry agreements, which was 26 February. However, there we do have an opportunity to reply by 20 March if we wish to. So one of the things we could do was look through the comments, look through the registry comments, etc., and see whether there's one we want to support. And basically we could write something, you know, short and sweet that says we support the picket fence, we support the registry's comments on. Now, I've got my name down there, and I can help with that, but because I do some contracting with a potential registry, I may not be the best author for it. So that's about it for now. Thanks. And I see, Wendy, please add my name there for the registry or the registrar, or both?
Both while you're at it.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm not hearing anything. Is anybody else hearing anything?
Oh, yes. Sorry. I was scrambling with the mute on.
Sorry
about that.
Okay. Chart.
Thanks to Avery and Wendy for agreeing to start undertaking thinking about comments on this registry agreement and the registrar agreement. I think it would be great if we could maybe pull together a working group or a group of NCSG members who want to focus on this issue. If anyone else would like to work on this issue and maybe help to organize and guide some of these briefings with staff and with the registrars, that would be great if we could broaden the pool of people who are responsible for following up with this stuff. It would be great. Anyone else want to join these teams? All right, well, we can keep it open, and as we set up the briefings and such, I'm hopeful that more people will become engaged. Should we any other thoughts on the RAA agreement? I expect it's going to be big fireworks in Beijing. The registrars are pissed, trying to build a wedge between the registries and ICANN is by, you know, blaming the registrars for the new GTLDs not being introduced in a timely fashion. So it's really an issue that's only going to get larger in the coming weeks. Any other thoughts on this one? RAA going once, going twice? Okay, so let's go on to the next issue on the agenda, the Who is Privacy and Proxy Relay and Reveal study. There was a results of a survey that were presented in Toronto, and now council discussed this survey but hasn't reached any decision about what to do with it. So I think now council is in a position that needs to decide which way to move forward. regarding the results of this survey. Anyone on council or who's been following this issue want to give us a little bit more detail and information on this issue? The Who Is Privacy and Proxy Relay and Reveal study? Okay, so I don't hear anyone. I guess we can just wait and see what the discussion ensues on the council list, although it'd be nice if we had a position to take into that council discussion about the results of this survey.
Okay. Hey, Robin. Yeah. I actually still haven't read the results of this survey. I have to put my hand up in shame, but I will do so before the meeting tomorrow. I think the notion with this that it would feed in somehow to this, you know, the new Who Is group, where they're calling it the new working group, where we're not calling it Who Is anymore. What are we calling it? Something Registry Services or something or other. Can anyone explain the relationship between studies? Initiative.
Yeah, this seems to be an issue we don't know much about. We should look into this one. Do I hear someone?
If my line is audible.
I hear.
This was a study that was proposed way back in the good old days of NSO, Who Is Studies 1 through 4, and the 12 items that were to be. It pulled over a long series of stuff that the council was asked to commission, and getting reports back on it. And processing them, we could say put this work basically on hold for the new Directory Services Initiative and let them think about comprehensively what they would like to do and look at, rather than bringing them studies that groups have told them said might be useful.
Great. Okay. Thanks for that update, Wendy. Anyone else have anything to add on the study?
Not on the study. This is Avery. Not on the studies itself, but on the directory services issue.
Yes.
What I think has happened there is they've taken the word Who Is. They finally accepted the reality that Who is not the answer to the various issues people have with information about who, what, and where on registrations, and therefore they're defining it in new terms as a directory service and looking at the various requirements for such a service. And so I think that that's what that is at least in part about. It is Who Is, but it's Who Is in a much greater, more defined, with tiers and who knows what. And that's one of the reasons why it was very important for us to try and get some privacy and data protection and data retention people into that group, because they're the ones that are going to sort of be driving now what the Who Is 2.0, also known as directory services, might be. This also corresponds with an effort that is going on in the IETF to create a follow-on set of tools, et cetera.
Interesting. Okay. Thanks for that, Avery. Anyone else have anything to add on this point? Well, I think we come back to Who Is in a few minutes when we talk about some of the public comments that are open and some of the working groups. There's the thick who is, so I don't think we've said the last word on who is today. But I think we can move on to the next item on the agenda. Anyone else have anything to say on that, or before we move on? Okay. Then the other issue on the council agenda is GNSO Council planning for the Beijing meeting. The GNSO Council has the opportunity to shape topics in the substance of the Council's proposed meetings with the other groups in Beijing, when the Council meets with the CCNSO, when they meet with the GAC, when the Council meets with the Board. They get to propose, each side gets to propose substantive topics. So what topics and perspectives would we like the GNSO Council to take up in these different forms? Let's start with the Board, because I think that maybe that's the first place to start. Any suggestions for topics that we would like to see the GNSO Council and the Board discuss in Beijing? I could say what I think. I would like to see the council take up this issue of bottom-up governance and ICANN staff and board respecting the multi-stakeholder process and the bottom-up part of that. I realize this may not be a very popular topic for the board and the staff to hear, but I think it is an issue that is just creeping along in such a trend that it needs to be brought to the board's attention by the council. And again, this is something where at least some of the contracted parties share these concerns. So that would just be my suggestion. Any other suggestions?
Robin, it's Joy.
Yes, please.
To be honest, one of the concerns that I've had about these conversations, these public conversations with the board and with GAC, is a trend, if it's lasted more than my time on council anyway, but certainly they seem to be quite ritualized, and it's very, very difficult to get sort of meaningful dialogue in the topics that are raised. And if I think about the last ones I've attended and the recordings I've seen, so I'm sort of wondering whether some kind of fresh approach isn't needed here, rather than sort of, for example, sort of self-congratulatory comments about progress on working groups where outcomes are already known. I'm wondering whether there is any possibility, if anyone thinks it's realistic, to think of the council trying to engage in some different way with strategic discussions, on new topics, or whether there's any point in trying to do that. And even with the board, I mean, I think that conversation tends to be slightly more relaxed and somewhat more engaging, but still, in terms of the fresh material that we get out of that for our constituencies, I'm not really sure what council is really trying to achieve with that. I'm not that that's necessarily helpful in terms of thinking about specific topics, but I think some refreshing in thinking about what's the strategic objective we're trying to achieve. The council's trying to achieve, and having a fresh conversation about that.
That's a good point, Joy, actually, is, for the council to really think about these discussions and the value that they're getting from them and where they're not getting value and maybe trying to change that up a little bit. And I do share the concern that these things can be a bit ritualized and there's posturing and Either side really wants to lay their cards on the table oftentimes, and it would be great if we could, do something to just change that and say, look, let's really have a discussion about what we think about issues without, you know, fear that it's going to, you know, cause a problem or for whatever reason. But I think that maybe that is something that, that a discussion that, as you say, the council should have with itself tomorrow and the next day to really ask itself, you know, what do we want to get from this? And let's really, personally, I would say, hold the board's feet to the fire on issues and really try to press them on some of these issues. Certainly this issue of bottom-up multi-stakeholderism, you know, on the one hand, they can't really say that this is a bottom-up organization if they want the unilateral right to make all decisions. So, you know, pressing them and getting some answers, that's my view. But I think you're right that council needs to have a discussion about the overall strategy and objective of these meetings. Anyone else have some thoughts on what? Yes, Wendy, please.
From underwater, a concrete suggestion, the definition of public interest has been bothering at least some members of the board who take seriously their obligations to make this a public interest nonprofit and wonder where they're supposed to get the evaluation of public interest. We have folks who come forth claiming to represent the public interest as non-commercials and academics. We might be able to suggest some criteria for recognizing the public interest, not necessarily to say we and we alone represent the public interest, because it would be a thing to say, but to say, you know, here are some places that the public interest, some useful definitions of the public interest, sources of legitimacy of that, what's claimed to represent the public interest, and that provide a way to evaluate whether what the GAC says, what the ALAC says, what any of the constituency groups says is in fact the public interest.
Great. Thanks for that, Wendy. I really like that idea, especially the suggestion of coming up with criteria and principles for evaluating sort of a yardstick, a measure stick that we can hold up an idea to that somebody claims, now this is in the public interest, and then we can hold it up against criteria, ideally. Things like, you know, does it respect international human rights laws, for example? And if it doesn't, well, then I think that it's got a tougher case to be made that it isn't, in fact, in the public interest. So I really like that suggestion for the GNSO board discussion. Anyone else? Any other topics for the discussion with the board and the GNSO? We've got a couple more. We've got come up with some topics for the board, for the GAC and the GNSO and the GNSO and the CCNSO as well. Okay,
Robin,
not hearing
it's Joy.
Yes. Go ahead.
Sorry, Robin, it's Joy. I just was going to type a question, but I realize you don't have Adobe Connect. Where are we at with this whole question of the new constituencies? Is this something worth raising with the board, the sort of the developments in relation to new constituency groups that have sprung forward following the new GTLD process?
Like, you mean like the NTAG, the new applicant group, and some of these? I mean, I'm trying to think of what other new constituencies have been proposed. There was the Cyber Cafe constituency that proposed.
Is that still a live issue?
Well, the NCSG made its recommendation to the board in January, where we said we didn't think it fit within the NCSG, and now it's up to the board to accept our decision or not accept it. And so and to send it back to us to rework a little bit more. But it's in their hands right now. So we should hear back from the board about that decision, whether or not they agree with that decision, probably before Beijing.
Right.
So that might be a topic that we want to raise with them,
mm-hmm.
or it might not.
I'll write this down.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, anyone else? Okay, not hearing anyone on this one. Let's think about the GNSO and the GAC and what sorts of discussions do we think they ought to have, and what are the issues that we would like for the GNSO to bring to the GAC, or the GAC to have to answer to the GNSO on? Any suggestions on that?
Well, one of the ones in the Adobe Connect, I think, is to also raise the question of public interest with the GAC. I think David's made that suggestion. And I think this is a tricky one. This is, well, it'll be an interesting one with the GAC because, you know, there are many governments who see themselves as, by definition, representing the public interest in ICANN. And even to the extent of speaking on behalf of public in their countries, who may or may not be participating in other constituencies or, you know, elsewhere in ICANN. So I think that would be an interesting topic to raise with them. We just have to think carefully about what question we wanted to ask.
Well, you know, it would be good to get some to get the GAC's views on what are the criteria and principles that they believe should be considered as being in the public interest, and, you know, just to kind of get them thinking about that as well. I mean, there's no reason why we can't have some of these same discussion topics with both the board and the GAC. In fact, I expect we will, because they are the hot topics of either the meeting or that we want to bring to the table. So, you know, we absolutely can talk about these topics with the different groups.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Robin, it's Maria. So Wendy on the Adobe chat kind of put a quick laundry list, I think, of topics that could be like a checklist of, you know, is something in the public interest? Does it have due process? Respect human rights, build in representation and participation. I mean, it might be, I think that's a terrific start of a checklist, actually, and I wonder, would that be a good thing to say to the GAC, hey, here, you know, we think things in the public interest would meet these criteria, or decision making, you know, in the public interest would take these things into account. What do you think? Because, you know, I was also just mentioning on the chat, just as Joy said, I think a lot of governments on the GAC think they've got the monopoly on what is in the quote-unquote public interest simply because they are government representatives. But I think it's, you know, really valuable for us to fire a shot across the bows and say, well, okay, you know, first of all, we're civil society, and so we've got a slightly different concept of the public interest, and also here are some concrete things of what we think decision-making in the public interest should take into account.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's actually a fabulous idea. And, you know, if we could come into Beijing with this, you know, checklist, this criteria, then we can really frame the debate. And, you know, then people have to be responding to these ideas. And suddenly they have to start talking about human rights and whether or not due process has been followed and things like that. So I think it would be, you know, just really, really smart for us to come into Beijing with this checklist, ready to, you know, hold it up and ask them to say that, you know, they agree with it or where they don't agree with it. And so I really like that idea. And there was, what was the other thing?
Well, it's Maria again. Robin, while you're thinking of what the other thing is, if Wendy is interested in working with this, I'd love to help her out, do a bit of drafting and kick it around in the NCUC.
I'm also really happy to help on that one.
Great. So I've got Wendy, Joy, and Maria are going to sort of kickstart that checklist that we can bring in there. Okay, great. Anything else on this point? Either this public interest definition in general or other ideas that we would like to see the GNSO and the GAC discuss in Beijing?
Human rights. Can people hear me?
Yes. Who have I got?
Yes. David.
Hi, David.
Hi. I think one thing we're definitely, I think this, the GNSO councillors are probably pretty likely to be concerned about the sort of continuing this sort of policy versus implementation discussion with the GAC, given the GAC's interpretation seems to be that the GNSO doesn't really have a role to play. It won't be quite as head-on as it has been by the letters, I think there will still be some discussion of that, I would think, about the role the GNSO plays, even where the GAC has pretty clear, when the GAC has made pretty clear what it would like the policy outcomes to be, why the GNSO still has a policy role to play. So I think that will come up.
Yeah, that's a really, really good idea for the GNSO GAC discussion, this policy versus implementation and the role of the GAC and the role of the GNSO. And okay, I've got that one down. Anyone else have any that one or any other one?
The difference between policy direction and policy.
Okay, so we've got a couple good suggestions for the GNSO and the GAC discussion and the GNSO and the board discussion. How about the GNSO with the CCNSO? These topics will also be proposed. And remember, counselors, these are topics that you'll have to bring into the GNSO meeting on Thursday. So I'll write them down here and send them out to you later, but you'll have to be the ones to tell the GNSO that it's what NCSG wants to discuss with the GAC and the board and such. Okay, so how about the CCNSO? Any other topics or similar topics? Different topics? Any areas where these groups may have some things in common?
Hi, Robin, it's Joy.
Yes, please, go ahead.
I think one possibility is to ask them for their views about the rights and responsibilities proposals that have come from ICANN staff in relation to the registrar agreement, particularly because a number of CCTLDs have similar provisions. Some don't, of course, but just in terms of their experience in actually developing these, from policy perspectives or something similar, that's one option. I'm not quite sure how that conversation's going to go at the GNSO Council itself in terms of what the registrar is thinking about it at the moment, but that's one option.
Yeah, that's a good one. We haven't brought up yet is the rights and responsibilities document, and the CCNSO being sort of a anarchist's land, how they view that document and what's in it would be very interesting in relation to the registrar agreement. Any other thoughts or on this particular issue or suggestions for the CCNSO-GNSO meeting?
This is Avery. If you want to get them riled up, you can really ask what do they think about the various suggestions that are being made in various places that a CCTLD that looks like a GTLD should be under the same regulatory process as the GTLD.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest unspoken, monster in the room between the two, and that's certainly an issue that at large is trying to bring up, saying, what ho? You know, it's certainly an issue that, again, may be an alliance factor with registries that are saying, hey, you know, these people are competing like generics. Why don't they have to have the same who is? Now, personally, I'd hate to see it. You know, it's like one of those bad jokes. Make my left hand like my right, and it would be a pity to see the CCTLDs lose their freedom. And indeed, perhaps we should be supporting the CCTLD notion of freedom from these various constraints. But it really is, you know, one of the biggest topics between the two supporting organizations. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Avery. I knew I could count on you for a provocative suggestion. I like it. Anyone else? Thoughts on that one or another discussion topic to propose?
It's Maria. I've just been taking a belated look at the CCNSO minutes of their February meeting. One of the topics that came up, I mean, the CCs in general are obviously really exercised about internet governance and the, you know, WSIS and all of that going forward. On that, is it WPTF? I always get it wrong. Conference in June this year. Anyway, one of the things they seemed a little bit unhappy was, which is the thing that we share, is they didn't like that the staff were not being very opaque about how they were populating the these roundtable discussions the CEO has been having recently, the sort of kind of world tour of Dubai and Addis and that. And so it's possibly a topic of mutual interest, is question of, you know, how can we ensure that ICANN's public representation or engagement strategies are actually making the most of the people in the community and the links that we have, and being done in a transparent way. Small point, I don't know if it's the right forum for it, but it's perhaps a point of common cause.
I think that's a great idea, Maria, and I would maybe even, in addition to adding it to that topic, to this issue, or to the CCNSO discussion, maybe that's a discussion that the GNSO wants to take up with the board generally as well. It sort of as part of this, you know, bottom-up multi-stakeholderism and the extent to which, as you've said, that the engagement strategies are taking advantage of the players in the community and those who have been engaged. I think that kind of really dovetails into that topic. So I think that, you know, in addition to raising it with the CCNSO, which is, again, a place where, as you said, there may be some commonalities, I think it's another issue that we should take up with the board as well. Any other thoughts on that? Okay, then not hearing any, we can move on. We've got several proposed topics for each one of these discussions. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda, which is just making sure that our representatives are all set for Thursday's meeting, and if anybody needs a proxy, to let me know now so we can make those arrangements. I heard from Wolfgang earlier, who's not on the phone today, but he did confirm that he'd be able to participate. But I think we've got Wendy and Joy and David and Maria all on the line now. You guys are all able to attend. You don't need a proxy or anything for this week's meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, is Magalie on the line? Does anyone know? I haven't heard anything from Magalie about whether or not she can make Thursday's meeting. Anybody here?
It's Joy here. Robin, I've messaged Magalie just to find out if she's planning on attending, but I haven't actually heard from her back yet, but I'll try again.
Thank you very much for that. Okay, so she may be the only one that we need confirmation from at this point. Great. Okay, so I guess we can move on to the next item on the agenda, which are the other policy issues and public comments in the ICANN arena, and there's a lot, as you can see. First issue is the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, the ATRT2. which fortunately the board had the wisdom to appoint Avery to be a member of. So I think actually she's probably the best one to give us a bit of a briefing on and some background on this group and where it's at and where it's headed and what we can do to help her as a member of the group. Avery, are you able to give us some background on this?
Sure. There's not much to say yet. We have not started. Well, we've started a little. And let me give a couple things. First, there is a... and I'll stick them in the Adobe, and you can get them later. There is a... Oh dear, I'm trying to do too many things at the same time. We haven't had our first meeting yet. I'm flying out to L.A. tomorrow for our first meeting of that. So that is the first part. We've had some discussions, and... you know, the discussions were things like, are we open? Do we have an open mailing list? Do we have an open archive? Are our meetings going to be open? And by and large, everything has been decided in the open archive, in the open email lists, in the open, you know, I'm not sure yet exactly what, and I'll let people know. I've asked for, at minimum, that they do the same thing the GNSO meetings do in terms of allowing anybody to listen in on the meeting as it's going live. I'm sure there are very few people that will take advantage of the full time. But it should be possible. The other thing that has been brought up by Brian is that, you know, not only that, but if we've got an Adobe Connect, that, you know, people should be able to just come into that Adobe Connect, and that even there should be time for observers to the meeting to be able to make comments to the meeting. So we're really in the process of making sure that it's as open as it was last time. And maybe more so. We've certainly talked about needing to start off by looking at ATRT1 and seeing to what degree it has been implemented, and that discussion, you know, will probably be fairly wide-ranging in going from, well, did they actually implement the recommendation? Did they implement something that they wanted to implement, but does it meet the recommendation? Issues like that. And then there's going to be a collection of other issues, possibly case studies that we need to do. Those are all things that will get talked about in the next couple days. I don't know whether the board members are already kicking themselves for having invited me to join, because I think I'm already being obnoxious. I know some of you will be terribly shocked to hear that I've already been obnoxious. But part of one of the issues has been, and I've leveraged, to use that word, on that issue has to do with just the two-tier travel that we've got, and the fact that that's not even transparent as to who does what when, and basically have made an issue of that. We fly regular constituency rates economy, you know, but the ATRT has said that we are an egalitarian group. We're not differentiating between those are there ex officio versus the rest of us. Everyone participates equally. So I've sort of demanded, well, equality being what it is, we should either all be flying business or we should all be flying economy. Board members, will you join us flying economy? So, you know, but that issue really is a particular immediate issue. It's not an ATRT issue, but what I've brought up in relation to that is that I believe that often staff and board have an arbitrary and capricious interpretation of the rules and the policies, and that's something I do want us to look at, because that is an accountability and transparency issue, or at least I think it is. Now, one place where I need help is, okay, I've said that, but I'm hand-waving in terms of if indeed that is true, I need to collect instances and perhaps things that might make good case studies. It's not that we've decided to do case studies, but it's one way of operating in a group like this is to take various issues and then follow them down the rat hole to see what you can find. So if people have issues like that or anything else that they think we need to do a deep look at on accountability and transparency. Now, one thing is the one, I think, constraint that we've got is it cannot be something that is ongoing. And as we're looking at what has happened and looking back at those cases and such, things that are still in process is a future ATRT. From what I understand, I'm not quite sure I understand that completely, but that's the impression I've been getting. But certainly there's a lot of history that can use a microscope. So I'll be, you know, coming back as we get specific things written of we're going to look at this, we're going to look at that. I'll certainly be coming back to this group and the GNSO in general, you know, looking for information, looking for what it is that bothers you all, bothers us all, and as soon as I know the methods by which things are opened, I'd say stay tuned to the wiki page for ATRT. You know, I've put in the thing in the Adobe chat. I'm having trouble talking in the Adobe chat. The email archive, which we just opened. I haven't even looked at it yet to see if all the messages from the beginning when we were talking about opening it are in there or just since then. Already I've seen the first effect of having an open archive is I made the issue on the travel and capricious and arbitrary decisions, and I've already gotten an email from one member who said he was a little nervous about agreeing with me on the list, but he supports me, so I'm quite happy. That's about it.
Oh, great. Thank you very much, Avery. There's an issue that I would like to bring to the attention of ATRT to look into, and that would be the scheduling and the programming of the ICANN meetings, you know, the whole week of the meetings, and what meetings staff chooses to put on the schedule and what speakers they choose to invite to participate on the schedule. This is an issue that's been really, really troubling for me for years, is watching at every single ICANN meeting staff organizes some kind of meeting on DNS abuse where it's just time after time a parade of law enforcement officials telling us the horrors of internet use and why we have to lose our privacy rights and anonymity rights. And again, these are all organized by staff. There's once in a while, maybe once or twice a year, we'll get an email from somebody from staff saying, oh, could you suggest someone for this panel? But that's the exception. And by and large, the practice is the ICANN meetings are organized according to the staff's objectives, including their policy objectives. So it is the policy objectives the staff is trying to push that get pushed in these meetings, and you're not going to hear speakers from other perspectives. And so that is an issue that has been a real thorn in my side, and I think that the community needs to take a little bit more ownership over the substance of the meetings during ICANN week, all of the workshops and the various sessions that staff organizes. That would be something that require that needs more accountability to the community and transparency in how they're organized. So that's my suggestion. I don't know if anyone has any comments on that or any other comments they would like to see Avery bring to the attention of the ATRT team.
Wendy has her hand up.
Great. Wendy.
I didn't have my hand up.
And Maria has her hand up.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Wendy put her hand down. Maria's hand is still up, so I guess it's Maria.
Great.
Okay, it's Maria here. So after the whole trademark clearinghouse debacle and I did the ombudsman complaint, had my meeting with Fadi when we were in Los Angeles for the non-contracted party house meetings, and I came out of that with a mission to develop some kind of paper or basically discussion paper about how I can should run its meetings and what level of transparency and participation should be the norm. I've just been wiped out for the last 6 weeks with one flu and one thing after another, so I haven't done anything about it. But one is, I think that's a topic that would be great to see APRT looking at. Two, I strongly support what Robin has been saying about how I can meet three times a year, meetings are scheduled. And three, my third thing, back to this job that I'm supposed to be doing. I really need a bit of help because it's a real chance for us to make an impact and follow up, you know, kind of get, just make something good happen out of this whole trademark clearinghouse thing. And one of the ideas was to develop kind of I guess we could call it a green light, orange light or amber light, and red light system of, you know, here's the kind of typology of the three basic types of meetings that we run. Maybe one is the one where you have maximum transparency, one is kind of, you know, in between, and one is maybe, and the other extreme you've got maybe possibly what the conditions are for RIA negotiations, whether or not I happen to agree that that should be like that, but, you know, the type of transparency that is the norm. So it's basically, it's about trying to articulate just a set of, you know, articulate the community norms on what transparency and participation should be. And, sorry, I've forgotten the other thing I was going to say about that. Basically, I need to start drafting this and getting input and putting it about. But I would really love to see, say, so Avery, you were talking about, you know, you guys at the APRT, you had to suddenly go back to square one and say, right, we're going to have to renegotiate, you know, are the message, is the online, the email messages, are they going to be published, how public are the meetings are going to be, will they be archived, etc. The idea is, what if we had a blueprint that just said, you know, the default is everything should be the most maximum participation or openness, and this is what it looks like, you know, down to the level of, is the Adobe Connect open to people? So that's my thing. I apologize for shoehorning it into the agenda, but I could really use a bit of help on it, and I think it also fits in a little bit with the ATRT.
Yep, thanks.
Great. Thank you very much for that, Maria. I think that that's great. And, you know, I can tell you that when after I participated in the straw man LA meetings and was very frustrated by the lack of transparency and accountability at those meetings, in the first draft of the NCSG statement on the issue, I had a whole section on these issues, these accountability and transparency issues, that, you know, there was no transcripts made, there were no recordings made, we were told we couldn't tweet or discuss it outside of, you know, and so, I mean, I would be happy to provide that with to you if that would be helpful to your analysis. It ultimately was not included in the final comment that NCSG submitted because, you know, Fadi promised he learned his lesson and was going to be a good boy and not violate accountability and transparency rules anymore. So we didn't include it in the final comment, but I still have it, and I think that it might help perhaps at least start to develop some kind of criteria that we can measure against these different types of meetings, and, you know, should there be remote participation? Should there be a transcript? Should there be a recording? Should there be, you know, opportunity to ask questions or whatever the criteria is? But I think that would be a really good thing for us to do. And I'm glad that Fadi's asked us, or rather asked you to help come up with this, because again, I think it's a good chance for us to do something positive rather than always just fighting against negative things that come at us at ICANN. Any other thoughts on that?
No, except thank you very much, Robin. I could really use that. Thanks.
And I'll certainly throw it into the ATRT pile.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Avery.
So were there any other thoughts on the RT2 team? Things we would like the team to take up? Or message to bring back? Okay, well, it will remain an open issue for some time. And Avery, again, is the go-to person on that team. Okay, so let's move on to the next.
And I'll be on Skype, and send me email of whatever you think of, and I'll just keep adding it to my list of issues. But thanks.
And thank you. Okay, so I guess we can move on to the next issue on the agenda, which is the WHO is Expert Working Group. This is that WHO is group that we've sort of been talking a little bit about that was organized at the board level, and unfortunately it doesn't include much privacy expertise in the group. There's, you know, the Time Warner representative and Facebook's on this expert privacy group, and, you know, it's a lot of large corporations and intellectual property rights interests, and unfortunately we were not able to find participants who would be able to participate in this working group. We were initially told that the workload would be about 20 hours a month, and you know, that was too much to turn too much work to turn most people off that we approached on this issue. And then even after, once the group was formed and we saw who was on the group, and we got really scared because there's really only one person who's a data protection officer, and that's Stephanie Perrin from Canada. She's really the only one with privacy expertise from that perspective, and there's nobody from the EU with privacy from a data protection office. Michaeli Nyland of Black Knight in Ireland is also on the group, and he is a person who cares a great deal about privacy, and so I'm very glad he's on the group. But again, he's not a data protection officer from the EU, which would have been really what we need to get the perspective we need to get in this group. And so after this group was formed and we saw the list of names of who was on it, and I got very concerned and about the need for more privacy expertise. So, I mean, I literally reached out to more than 20 data protection officers in the EU, throughout Australia, New Zealand, Norway, Germany, all over, and really haven't been able to find any who are willing to participate in this working group. And I was particularly troubled by Article 29's reaction. Who, you know, Article 29 did a great letter last summer when we wrote to them and asked them to do an analysis, and they did, and it was very powerful. However, the EU Commission, or the European Commission, has said, oh, you don't need to pay attention to that, and so ICANN says, well, we don't need to pay attention to that, because the European Commission says we don't need to pay attention to that. So unfortunately, that viewpoint has been entirely left out of the discussion and out of the debate, and without actually somebody from Article 29 or from a data protection office to say, hey, you have to pay attention to this. This is important. It's very, very difficult to get the community to consider those privacy obligations. So I don't know. I just kind of wanted to open it up and say I'm still trying to find a representative from a data protection office to participate on this, but haven't had much luck yet, and I know others have been trying as well. Wolfgang and Tapani and others have been reaching out to their national privacy protection officers, and they all say, oh, well, we don't really engage on this issue because Article 29 follows it. And then it's so frustrating for me because I have to respond back and say, but Article 29 said they can't engage on this right now. They said they're too busy. So nobody's engaging on it because all of the data protection officers imagine, or they believe, that Article 29 is doing it, so they think they don't have to. But Article 29 is not doing it. So, you know, I mean, I've kind of been running around trying to wake these data protection officers up that this is something that they need to pay attention to, that it affects their constituents, that nobody else is paying attention to it, and you know, unfortunately, a lot of these folks are just kind of like bureaucrats, and if an issue is not on the agenda that's been set out for them by somebody else, if it's not on the piece of paper that's been put in front of them, they're not going to pick it up. That, you know, somebody has to actually tell them, you need to do this, for it to actually get anywhere. So I've been really frustrated with the data protection officers from all over the world because, you know, they're just kind of asleep on the job on this, and they haven't been able to get engaged. So that's my take. But I know there are others who have also have been following this issue from other perspectives and have other points to add on this working group. In the direction it's heading. I know they came out with the report, but I haven't had a chance to read the report. It just came out a couple days yesterday, I think. Anyone else have a chance to read this report or have any other thoughts on this expert working group, on who is, that we don't call who is anymore?
Robin, it's Joy here.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Look, I know that you've tried really, really hard to get interest from outside organisations involved, and hats off to you for how hard you've worked to try and do that. And I know others have tried at different points. I think the reality that we got is that this simply in the sort of the privacy data information officer expert world and sort of landscape of issues, although this particular sphere that ICANN's responsible for is really niche. And so there are very few with expertise and very few who, in light of all the other issues they're dealing with, are willing or able to prioritise it. So I'm not sure how much more utility there is in attempting to continue to try to get more expertise from those agencies. Having said that, I think that what we can do is be very strong in our concern that because a government advisory committee says, a member says that we don't need to worry about the concerns raised by a regional, you know, group of data experts, that somehow ICANN board can ignore that. You know, that's more a concern for me, because I don't think GAC should be able to effectively veto board inputs, particularly given that the EU advice was to the board and not to GAC. So that's one thing. I think the other thing is that we really need to think, what's our strategy now with this expert group? Is it to basically step back from the working group and say, look, we really don't think it's adequately representative of multi-stakeholder views, and to revert to more of a monitoring and critique position, or do we want to still somehow try and be involved in the process to try and shape decision making in some way, and thereby sort of legitimise and participate in it, given the sort of the resources that we've got? I think that's the sort of issue that we need to think about now. And I think if we can answer that question, it will guide us on, you know, what's our strategy then for trying to engage on the working group, or with them, I should say. And we should certainly, I think, raise that concern about their response to GAC advice in our meeting with the board. But yeah, I mean, what's your thinking about that, Robin? I mean, you've been very close to this in terms of trying to get engagement, and I'm just concerned that continuing to do so is not the best use of our, your time and the limited resources we've got.
Well, yeah, no, thanks for that. I appreciate that. And, you know, I just heard from Stephanie Perrin last night that, you know, she's not even sure at this point if the board would be willing to appoint any additional representatives. So, you know, I think that I'm going to stop wasting my time on that prong. And try to think about how, as you said, we can be more effective with this group that, that we've got, and what is it that we can do to try to shape this dialogue. And one idea is maybe we could try to get a call with Stephanie and Michaeli and amongst the NCSG members who are concerned about who is and who want to work on this issue about who is, and really get a sense from them about where is this group and you know, what is it you need from us and what kinds of information can we be trying to feed to you, and maybe we could be, you know, go between some of these data protection officers or other civil liberties groups who don't have the time themselves to participate but would be willing to, you know, lend a hand in some smaller way if we can do a lot of the legwork. So I do like that suggestion and would like to raise the issue back with others if you think it would be worthwhile to try to organize a call with Stephanie and Michaeli on this expert working group, and just so we can really get a sense for where it is and how we can be effective and help them on it. And any thoughts on that?
Sure. Wendy here. A couple of thoughts. One, we should be open to the possibility that while the group doesn't have privacy experts on it, it does have other people who are open to privacy concerns. All of them, but some of the names there might be, and perhaps. If we can't get another person on the group, we could assemble the lots of us who have concerns about privacy, ICANN and WIS, to give input to the group. So instead of one person who has to devote 20 hours a month, we have people who can devote a couple hours to providing a paper or commenting on the work that this group is producing, and to offer them backup to those who are privacy supporters.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that, you know, there's a lot that we could do to contribute to their understanding. You know, we're not members of this group, but I think that, you know, papers that we could submit and bring to their attention, many of them would be very appreciative to have, and can help to try to guide and shape some of these discussions. And I know the Norwegian Data Protection Office sent me a paper that they did on WHOIS, which they gave me permission to forward on to the working group, and so I sent it to Stephanie and Michaeli, and they said they would forward that on. And I think those are the kinds of things that we can do, and also getting a sense from them. So if we have a call with them and get a sense from them about specifically what information do you need, how can we help, then, as you said, those of us, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there can pick up different pieces of that and contribute some dialogue back into the larger group. What do others think? Should we try to get together a subgroup on this of people who want to work on this issue? Schedule a call with the members of the group who would be friendly to privacy concerns? Any other thoughts?
Robin, it's Joy here. I'm wondering, is there any chance of some informals while we're in Beijing, and if we've got a sort of one-pager, I see Bill's made a comment about that in the Adobe chat, you know, if there's some speaking points that you know, we've got for those who are attending the Beijing meeting, it would be great to be able to have those and, you know, have one-on-ones as the opportunity arises, in addition to any sort of formal edition of a meeting.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Both coming up with a one-pager of our views and of what we want to say on this issue, and also the talking points for the Beijing meeting. I think those are two really good concrete suggestions forward for this.
One more point from Wendy, just skimming the report. It's completely meaningless. It's empty of any content.
Sorry, which report are you referring to?
The WHOA's Directory Services report. So to people who haven't yet read it, don't expecting to see a lot. But that it reinforces, I think, the need to go to individuals, ask them what's really happening and where they use input.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's, you know, do we have a volunteer of somebody who would like to sort of lead this effort on the WHO is working expert working group and try to organize our participation? Okay, well, I can continue to try to move that ball forward, but I really want to get together a group of folks to focus on this WHO is issue in the coming months. I think there's a lot of opportunity to do some good things here, but again, it'll take bodies, so volunteers are very welcome.
Robert here, is there anybody, I'm just wondering if there's anybody else in the wider constituency groups that is interested in this at all, if you've had any other interest or discussion on the list. I don't know if Klaus or Cintra are aware of any other interest from the wider group that we could call on.
Well, you know, EPIC has been a pretty vocal member of the ICANN non-commercial community for many years, although in the last year or so we haven't seen much. But I would think that this would be right up their alley, and if we could get EPIC engaged on this, that would be great. And EDRI as well. I talked to some EDRI leaders when I was in Europe recently, and of course they're totally strapped for both time and resources like everyone else, but they are concerned in principle, and so, you know, I think there may be some opportunities for us to work with, to bring in EDRI if we continue to remind them of how important this issue is, and maybe have some strategic ways we could work together. Hmm.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Klaus. Good night. I just want to say thank you for the suggestion and asking. Nobody at the moment comes straight into my mind, but I will mull it over and also will run it through the NPOC group, and hopefully we will come up with somebody who can be part of that group. I only can agree with analysis that the WHO is issue is one of the issues which we really have to keep an eye on, and I think NPOC also has to pull its weight on that one. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Klaus. I really appreciate your input on that. And, yeah, if you can find bodies, people who are willing to volunteer, fresh legs, I guess we can call them, because we've got a lot of old legs when it comes to the WHO is issue. It's one of these issues that's been around for so long. We need some fresh legs, some fresh blood to help carry the WHO is baton to the next level. So I really appreciate anything you can find for volunteers to work on that. There is the next issue on the agenda also ties into this because it's also who is related, and this is the thick who is in data protection subgroup. And I believe that Roy Ballast and Amr El-Sadr have been participating in this working group for NCSG, and so maybe they could give us, if either one of them is on the call, they could give us some background and information on where this group is headed and what we can do to help. Is either Roy or Amr on the call?
I'm here, Roy.
Great. Roy, could you give us a little bit of background on this working group and where you're at and where it's headed and what we can do to help?
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
As I listen to you speak of a sick who is, I get excited and I also get frustrated because some of the observations that you make overall, I'm finding them in the working group. In the thick who is working group. Now, the subgroup on data protection was created mainly because this issue is tricky and touchy to many members. Today, the working group has been working now since November, and the projection is to wrap up the work sometime in June before the Durban meeting. At least that's what the chair would like to do, and I can as well. The subgroup has been meeting now for about a month. And another thing that the working group has done overall is to push our subject of data protection and privacy toward the end. So they're going to resolve all the other issues. There are 11 issues that the working group is working on. They're going to resolve all other 10. And then move on to data protection. Of course, this issue is a little bit tied up to the Port 43, but in any case, what's going on in the subgroup? When it comes to privacy, other than the NCSG and VeriSign, all the other constituencies, for the most part, don't want to deal with it. They are dealing with it mainly because we brought it up because the documents that were submitted. We submitted a questionnaire with substantial answers. The pushback was, well, you got to give us examples of problems with privacy and data protection. So the second document went in with all the 10 issues. And that one is going to be discussed tomorrow. Despite all of that, the feeling that I'm getting from the other constituencies is, one, why are we talking about this? And two, is this going to delay the progress of moving forward to think who is? In the other hand, because they are discussing this issue in the subgroup, they are starting to realize that there is a problem, and I have been poking them since I got them to agree that there is a problem with it. The next question is what to do about it. I heard one member last week say something on the lines of, yes, sick who is could be a problem, but that's not for us to resolve. My answer was yes, but that's for us to recommend that something is done about it. And tomorrow when they go over the document, I think that their feeling is going to be, well, you know, this is great, but we don't know exactly what is going to happen in the future. We don't have a recent example. And so let's not address it at least the way that we want it, at least as the NCSG wants it. And so there's two things going on as we move forward. Number one, Mr. Don Blumenthal has been very helpful and very patient, and today he was at the IETF meeting. And so one thing that he was that he's going to report on tomorrow is on the WIRDS system for WHOIS. That's something that we recommended in our document, some kind of tiered mechanism. If think WHOIS move forward, what mechanism is going to exist for privacy? So he's going to talk about what the ITF is doing, about new protocols, et cetera, et cetera. Whether that's going to be done in time, that may not be practical, at least before the Durban meeting. The other idea that I was considering is checking the document that we created with all the 10 issues, and you know, and I'll be happy to do that. Convert that into a letter that I guess sent to Article 29 Working Party. At least that might be small work for them, and they might be willing to do it. A reply to that letter, I think, will get the attention of the subgroup and the entire working group. But that's where we are at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much for that update. Let me ask sort of a bigger question. What is the best case scenario that could happen in this working group if, you know, you got your way, if non-commercial users got their way on the work that's being done in this working group? What's the best case scenario that could be achieved?
The idea would be, and this is assuming that think who has become the standard, and it seems to be that there is a big push toward that. To get something in writing that says okay, but not under the current protocol that we're utilizing at the moment. I mean, think who has to be adjusted, and maybe have I can speed up the process within the IETF to come up with a new one, with some kind of new mechanism. And who knows, maybe even delay the establishment. Okay, we're going to start with takeaways, but delayed, when that's going to happen. The only other option is convince them that takeaways should stay with .com and .net, but then again, that leaves, as to privacy, that leaves vulnerable all the other top-level domains. So I would prefer not to advocate for that.
This is Aubrey, if I can add.
Hello? Please, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. And I really appreciate all the work that Roy is doing, because I've just been sort of sitting back and only being periodically irritating. One of the things that I've been trying to convince them of and working with Mikey to try and convince is that And it's been an impossible notion to get through, and I'm sure Roy has tried with it too, is this whole notion that you are changing people's privacy expectations and the rights they have by shifting from a registrar to a central registry, because at the moment they may be living in Europe using a European registrar that has extra permissions. I mean, has extra protection, and that by shifting it over, you know, you basically lose that. Now, when you try to bring arguments up like that, you get responses. Like we had one today where one of the people actually accused those of us that wanted to protect privacy and data protection as, and I think this is quote, a bunch of girls at a pillow party talking about our feelings with no facts. And this is after all the work that Roy has done. So Roy is really, you know, in the middle of this getting, and he's just a bunch of girls at a pillow party talking about their feelings. And that's the way it's being characterized by the most extreme in that group. Now, if you asked me what the perfect would be, is that obviously Thick Who is a horrible idea. And that it shouldn't be forced on anybody now, and in fact it should be unforced on the new registries coming down the road. We know that's not going to happen, but that would indeed be the best. in terms of what's practical in this group is protecting the data protection rights of those that have them, the customers, the registrants of the European registrars. Now, one of the things that comes back and says, yeah, but there's never been a case of, you know, a registrant suing their registry in Europe for, you know, following the American standard. Nobody really cares. You know, I wish there was somebody I could talk into suing their registrar so that at least there'd be, you know, some indication that there is an issue there. But, you know, I really commend the work that's being done. As I say, I'm only half-heartedly participating, every once in a while jumping into the argument, making a mess of it, and then leaving again and leaving Roy with the mess. But and Roy and Amr with the mess. But as I say, I don't know because we're in such a minority on it, but I really do believe there's something important to protect, and that's the current registrants of the dot-coms who live in a better privacy environment than, you know, Reston will provide them. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you both, actually. And let me ask you both if you think we need more representation, more participation in these working groups. It looks like they have divided up into several different subgroups, and so it just sort of makes me wonder if we need to try to recruit more bodies to handle the splintering workload, or if, you know, you guys got it and we don't need to worry.
I haven't checked. I don't know, Avery, if you are in the Port 43 subgroup, or I don't remember.
I may be in a subgroup. I have not participated in any subgroup meetings, and I miss a bunch of the main ones. I made it today, but I've missed others. As I say, I've been good about sending my apologies, but it's because there are others of you. I have put it sort of at the "I do it when I can" part of my list. I apologize for that, but that's what I've done.
Oh, no problem at all. Hey, I'm going to check with Amar then to see if he is. I mean, the working group hasn't gotten to there yet, but I was. But I imagine that what I suspect is going to happen is that they will refer that to our group. Today, the working group was talking about, let me see which one it was. I think it was stability, if I remember correctly. And one of the questions that they had to answer, they didn't answer, except by saying, we'll refer this to the data protection subgroup.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that as the other groups follow suit in the same way, and then we'll tackle them there. One of the things I brought up last week in the subgroup is that just because they have not been sued doesn't mean that they're not breaking the law. I mean, an argument could be made that maybe that's happening. And that's why I wanted to engage the working party. The letter that the NCSG sent last year, that certainly got their attention. I mean, that's, I think, one of the reasons why the subgroup was formed.
So do you need more support in these working groups? Do you need more bodies? Should we be trying to comb our membership list to bring more support into these working groups? And your recommendation?
More bodies wouldn't hurt, that's for sure. I mean, it definitely will have, I mean, if that is possible, that, I think that would be a good idea to add more voices to the.
Okay.
I would say more than just bodies, though, people that are knowledgeable that have some time to put into it.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. Workers.
That's right.
I'm a body at the moment. we need some people that got time that can, you know, work with Roy and Amr more than I have been able to.
By the way, before I forget, they released today a short list of of experts for the working group, and I didn't recognize anybody in that group that had any knowledge on data protection. They were all into the registry area. And so sending questions to this expert panel, I don't think it's going to get us much results.
Yeah, there is something to be said about ICANN labeling it an expert panel, and, you know, ICANN itself doesn't really have the expertise to decide who's a privacy expert and who isn't, and obviously many, many of these people are not privacy experts. So I think that there's a lot of concern in the community about what's going to come out of that working group, that expert working group. Okay, well, thank you so much for everything that you've done in this ThickWhois and data protection subgroup. And again, if there are anyone who wants to volunteer to be a worker in this group, I would suggest getting in touch with Roy or Avery, or Wendy, on the policy committee. Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut somebody off there.
Klaus has his
hand up. It's Klaus again. And I put up my hand up some time ago. Afri, even if I qualify now as a resident of Germany for taking somebody to court from here, I have a very stupid question. Did nobody ever think about getting in touch with the European watchdogs data protection and things like that? I know that these guys are instituted by law now here in Europe, and I think they just should simply be alerted to the fact that there might be infringement of the European law, and these guys are obliged to follow up everything and to come up with an answer to you, or am I too naive on that point?
I don't think anyone has. I don't know. I mean, there's a part of my constitutional being that keeps me from going to the authorities and ratting people out, but I think it's a wonderful idea.
Okay, it's getting to the end of the meeting, but let's explore that in the next few days and weeks, and maybe I volunteer to do something about it. Now I'm here in Europe, might make things interesting.
Certainly would. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much, Klaus. Anything else on this issue? ThickWhois and data protection. Okay, not hearing anything else. Let's move on to the next issue on our agenda. And as I'm looking at the agenda and I'm looking at the clock, we only have about 5 minutes left in the meeting, and we haven't gone through even all of the open comments and issues yet, let alone the planning for Beijing. However, we do have another meeting scheduled about a week before the Beijing meeting, or actually more like 2 weeks before the Beijing meeting, on March 28th, where we can do our preparation, what's left of our preparation for the Beijing meeting. So don't have to worry too much about that today, but I would like to get through at least some of these other issues that are open right now at ICANN and are pretty hot topics and we need to submit comments on or have some positions to take into Beijing with us. So let me just suggest that we then go on to the next issue on the agenda, which is the special protections for the Red Cross, the Olympic Committee, and the IGOs. And as folks know, there is an IGO-INGO working group that was set up at the request of the board and the GAC to try to come up with some recommendations about whether or not additional privileges are warranted, and if so, try to fashion some kind of scheme for figuring that out. And I'm in this working group, although I'm not one of the more active participants. Is there anyone else on the call who's in this working group and would like to sort of give us an update on where we are in this working group and what's headed?
I'm also in it. I'm going to miss tomorrow's meeting, so hopefully you'll make it. No, I don't want to get into talking about it. I'm too confused about where we are. Somehow I feel like the group is Groundhog Day-ing, but I don't know.
What do you mean by Groundhog Day-ing?
Groundhog Day-ing? We keep going through the same discussions over and over and over again. We start talking about we need criteria. We start getting into them, and then all of a sudden we get, you know, then we get to the point of saying, well, you know, it's really hard to convince us to do things as a priority, you know, reserve lists or special reserve lists or lists where you get to give them permission, a.k.a. license. So, but, you know, people are really interested in perhaps talking to you about how to enhance the RPMs, the rights protection mechanisms for people that don't have trademarks that, you know, have names to protect. And that one, we kind of see a way to do that. No. We got to have priority because we have this. Just today we got the legal, you know, one of the questions we had been asking was, is there a legal basis? And if there's a legal basis, well, then we don't need policy. Just, you know, take it to court. And, of course, what we got back was, well, you know, doing something legal is kind of tough, but there do seem to be indications, and I haven't read the legal report that, but it seems to be the same old kind of mushes. There is some stuff here, there is some stuff there, but really, when you get right down to it, no, there are no clear rules against registrars doing that, except maybe in Australia, where, but even there, it's not specific about registrars, etc. I mean, I'm hand-waving about this document that I just skimmed. So we now have the point where we've gotten the legal information back, and it's not conclusive. And I feel that we're constantly, and you know, Chair is trying, but I don't know that we're getting anywhere. Does anyone else that participates in it think we're getting anywhere?
Well, no, I mean, I really share your view, and I'm just wondering what's going to happen because, you know, there isn't going to be a group consensus, I think, to do things or to create these special privileges. Yet, how is the group going to handle that? I mean, I feel like there's a lot of pressure that's put on the chair to come up with recommendations for special privileges, because gosh darn, we've been working at it for so long, we have to come up with something or else we're going to be viewed as a failure. But again, I don't accept that rationale because the group is supposed to look at the issue of whether or not privileges are warranted, and then if they are, come up with recommendations. And so, you know, if we can't reach a consensus that these kinds of privileges, additional privileges, are necessary. I really don't want to be forced to once again have a recommendation from this group that says otherwise, just because it's mostly the lobbyists in the working group who do all the talking and shouting and screaming. And you know, there's pressure from the board, there's pressure from the GAC. You know, they've got the Red Cross and the Olympic Committee breathing down their necks. There's pressure to create these privileges, even though there isn't community consensus that they're warranted. And so I see this issue is very likely to come to a head in the coming weeks because we are at an impasse where the top-down says you must do it this way and the bottom-up doesn't seem to want to go along with that, and how is this going to be resolved? That's my take.
I see a hand up. Klaus, is your hand up new? Did you want to comment on this, Klaus?
Don't ask me to comment on that one.
Oh, you had your hand up. I was just noticing that your hand was up. That's all.
You better don't ask me about this one because I have a very strong opinion, and we really need to solve this one. But how, I have no idea, and I feel exactly the same way as you two. It's going around in circles, and there needs to be somebody with the talent of cutting a cord knot to get this done.
Thanks. Yeah, I think the chair has a chance. I think he's tried to say, you know, look, there may be consensus building for an after effect, you know, rights protection mechanisms, a URS, a UDRP that is inclusive of the IGO, INGOs, et cetera. That seems to be, you know, a certain amount of consensus. It's certainly a group I fall in for those who don't have trademark protection. You know, perhaps it is reasonable indeed to come up with some way that allows them to say, hey, someone's messing with us and we want to do something about it. So I see that a consensus could build around there. A little less likely is the possibility of creating something like a trademark clearinghouse for some of these names that would give warnings and that would give people a early period to sort of get their names themselves, et cetera, and such. And I see absolutely no chance for consensus on augmenting the reserve name list.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've still got these guys pushing for a blocking proposal after we've told them we're not going to go for a blocking proposal, and yet every single email that they send to the list presumes that we're coming up with a blocking proposal. I mean, it's just two different realities. Okay, so are there any other thoughts on this, or we'll continue to plug along? Okay, the next issue is ICANN's outreach and engagement plans, and I know this was something that we talked about last month on the call, and one of the things we was come up with a letter to that we were wanted to send to Fadi about ICANN's outreach and engagement plans and the need to be more inclusive of civil society and the participants who have, you know, already been engaged in this space for some time, and Klaus was good enough to come up with a first draft, and I'm sorry to I haven't had a chance to get comments back to you on that yet, but I really appreciate your coming up with that, and I'm looking forward to moving forward on that issue, but I wanted to see if there are other things that other points that others wanted to raise. I know that ICANN has announced some new Arab engagement plans in the coming months, and they said they've got a new Asia engagement plan. And so, you know, ICANN is just brimming with plans to outreach and to engage. it just remains to be seen to what end. To chime in on this point.
Engagement is great, but not after 2 hours of conference call.
We're over-engaged at this point. Yeah, okay. We are over. We are 5 minutes over. Let me throw it back to you guys. Are there any particular issues remaining that you think we just got to go through really quickly right now, or can we punt this to our next meeting or to the list? The rest of these issues.
I'd really like to suggest we use the list.
That's one.
Okay, great. Great, because there's just, you know, we've got a lot of comment periods and the debate over so-called closed generics and private label TLDs rages on, and frankly, I'm very proud of the way the non-commercial stakeholder group has really engaged on that issue, and we've got a variety of viewpoints, and you know, everyone's been able to really articulate those, and I think that it shows how well we can work sometimes because we do have such a diversity of viewpoints, and it does bring a much richer and more informed and robust debate than I think any of the other stakeholder groups are having on this issue. So I guess we can take these issues to the list and continue them there. Any other thoughts on this? Disagreements? Wild agreement that 2 hours and 7 minutes is enough?
Wildly agree.
And thank you all for staying on the call. I really do appreciate it. We got through a lot of materials, and we've got a lot more work to do. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Evan. Bye.